Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, it's written on Canto 8, Bali Maharaj, Chapter 22. Bali Maharaj surrenders his life, text number 17. Yaya
hi
vidvan
api
muyati
yataha
tad ka vichaste gitim atmano yata tasmai namaha te Jagat Ishvaraya Vai Narayanaya Akila Loka Shakshine Yayahi Vedvan Api Yayahi Vedvan Api Muyati Yatas Tat ko vichaste gatim atmano yata.
Tat ko vichaste gatim atmano yata.
Tasmai namaste jagat Ishvaraya vai.
Tasmai namaste jagat Ishvaraya
vai. Narayana Narayanaya kila loka shakshine.
Narayanaya kila loka shakshine.
Yaya hi vidvan api muyate yatas. Tat ko vichaste gatim atmano yata.
Tat ko vichaste gatim atmano yata.
Tasmai namaste jagat Ishvaraya vai.
Tasmai namaste jagat Ishvaraya vai.
Narayanaya kila loka sakshine.
Narayanaya kila loka sakshine.
Yaya. By which material opulence? He indeed. Vidvanapi. Even a person fortunately advanced in education. Muyate. Becomes bewildered. Yataha. Self-controlled. Tat. That. Ka. Who. Vichaste can search for gatim, the progress, atmanaha, of the self, yata, properly, tasmai, unto him, namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances, te, unto you, Jagat Ishvaraya,
unto the Lord of the universe.
Vai, indeed. Narayanaya, unto his lordship Narayan. Akila Loka Sakshine, who are the witness of all creation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. The word ko vichaste gatim atmano yata indicate that when one is puffed up by the false prestige of possessing material opulence, he certainly neglects the goal of self-realization. This is the position of the modern world. Because the so-called scientific improvements in material opulence, people have entirely given up the path of self-realization. Practically no one is interested in God, one's relation with God, or how one should act. Modern men have altogether forgotten such questions because they are mad for material possessions. This kind of civilization continues. The time will come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences. Then people will come to their senses. Heya hi vedvana api muyate yatas tat ko vichaste gati matmano yata tasmai namaste jagadishwaraya vai narayana yakila loka sakshine. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminte Namane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Bajarne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarne. Matirna Krishne Paratak Svatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Ratanam Adantago Vir Vishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charavita Charavanana. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking, and he's explaining that Matirna Krishne Paratak Satova, that the inclination to become Krishna conscious is never aroused by persons who are interested in sense gratification. Although everyone in the material world basically has the same objective, that is, to find happiness eternally, or in the material world, to find as much sense pleasure to obtain it for as long as possible. Spiritual life means to know how to be eternally happy, and material life means to know how to gratify the senses. Basically, sense gratification is especially centered around eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Therefore, those who are interested in material advancement, they're basically interested in how to gratify the tongue. For instance, nowadays, many parts of the world, wherever you go, you can get food from other parts of the world. And people are very proud about that. For instance, I think in Holland, that most of the food is imported from someplace else. People feel that they're getting some special benefit if they eat, say, for instance, a banana coming from Spain or coming from South America. They feel that they're able to control the whole world in this way. Because the basic principle of control is utilizing something for one's sense pleasure, at least in the material world. Therefore, what more control can you have over someone or something than to have it surrendered on your plate, paying obeisances before you, ready to be devoured by you and become one with you, to completely merge its existence into you, to give up its own separate existence and merge into the great supreme. Therefore, one is thinking in some perverted way that by eating a banana coming from South America, that now I become partly a controller of South America too. Yesterday I was eating potato from Belgium, but tomorrow it's a banana from some other part of the world. So in this way, by this mental concoction, one is thinking that he's making some progress in controlling the universe. But in order to get the banana from South America, unfortunately, it has to be picked unripe from the tree, gassed with some lethal gas, and it never becomes ripe. 3 months later, when you get the banana, it looks exactly the same as when they gassed it. And if you eat it, it is more or less poisonous to the body. Therefore, although one is thinking he's controlling the world, actually he's, by his bewilderment, he's becoming controlled by the world more. Instead of making progress towards a healthier, a happier life, but he's actually making progress towards a more unhealthy, less fortunate existence. Therefore, modern science is more or less a collection of bewildering statements meant to direct people towards not a happier, more peaceful, progressive life, but a more bewildered, confused, and unfortunate life. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Matirna Krishna Parataksatova, if one doesn't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna, whatever he does will wind up to be unfortunate. Just like if one adds 1 plus 1 and he gets an answer of 3, no matter how expert he is in mathematics, whatever he does afterwards is wrong. Because the basic principle is wrong, and Prahlad Maharaj says, what is the wrong in the basic principle? It is called Griha Vratanam. Griha means house. So the first house that everyone lives in is this material body. And material life means to have the conception that if I have a strong, healthy body, if I have a nice occupation, if I get money, if I have a nice house, nice family, nice society, then I can become happy, peaceful, satisfied, and prosperous. But no matter how much one expands this conception of griha or house, no matter how far he goes, he still remains in the same misconception of identifying himself with something that he's not. Just like if you're very hungry, but if you decide to feed your reflection in the mirror, the food, it doesn't matter how much you feed the mirror, the reflection in the mirror, the food, you'll never become satisfied. Similarly, perceiving this material existence, the soul is imagining that he is something other than a soul. And therefore, he endeavors to, in so many different ways, to satisfy the demands of his senses and mind, etc. But it has nothing factually to do with him. No matter how much he tries to satisfy his senses and his material conceptions of life, he never becomes satisfied. Therefore, certainly it is a waste of time. His real interest is in Vishnu, but he doesn't believe in Vishnu. Avijananti mamuda manushim tanum ashityam parambhava majananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. He doesn't believe, even Krishna comes, he lifts Govardhan Hill with one pinky of his left hand, twirls a lotus flower, and when people hear about this, they say, impossible. But if they look up in the sky, and they see unlimited planets moving in their orbit exactly on time, and what is their explanation? Oh, it is all by accident. They 15 years they're trying to juggle 4 balls up into the air, and they can't do it with all their intelligence. But with this meager intelligence, they can't even juggle 4 balls. Their conclusion is everything else is by accident. Therefore, science is quite inconsistent. So-called science, which does not understand or try to understand the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and a priori, or as a basic principle, denies the existence of God, it is simply cheating science. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmano na buddhaya pravant yugra karmana shaye jagato hita. This is following such conclusions and lost to themselves. They create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. In other words, asakyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishvaram aparashvaram sambhutam kimanya kamahaitukam. They say that the world is unreal. Prabhupada writes in the purport, although the demons, they say that the world is unreal, it has no foundation, there's nothing really controlling things that are going on here. Still, they're endeavoring to fulfill what they see as the gap and become the controllers themselves. The whole modern civilization is based upon the false propaganda by use of our tiny little intelligence and by our tiny power, we can control the world. But Prabhupada points out all the time that they may have made some advancement, something of advancement. Exactly what that advancement is, if one examines it more carefully, one will see that every advancement they've created has created much more problems than they've solved. People are very proud of modern medicine. They used to say how modern medicine is curing so many diseases. But upon closer examination, we'll find that people, even 100 years ago, they used to die, but that doesn't mean that the death rate has gone down. Still here, for instance, in Belgium, the death rate is still 100%. Everyone dies here. So the scientists have not invented anything that has lowered the death rate. It's still 100%. Even if they can lower it down one fraction of a percentage, then we could give them some credit. But they haven't even lowered the death rate even one percentage. And nowadays, people don't die of just ordinary diseases like old age. Now people die from more traumatic diseases like heart attacks, cancer, AIDS. So people are proud that they've made advancement, and now the scientists, they're able to spend millions of dollars trying to cure someone of something they can't cure them of. Well, in the past, they'd spend a few hundreds of dollars. As I once mentioned, one of my aunts, she died in the hospital. She died in the hospital. She had a bladder infection. Fortunately, she was in the most advanced country in the world with so many medicines, and so the doctors gave her so many medicines, and after some time she developed some other problems. I don't know if it cured the bladder infection or not, but she was able to develop some of the symptoms that they describe on the warnings, on the little, that you can't read, that you need a microscope to read with, to find out what's going to happen to you after you take the medicine. So she developed some of those symptoms. She went back to the doctor, gave him more medicine. She got other symptoms. And by the time she left her body in the intensive care ward, five doctors a day were coming to see her, prescribing five different medicines. And so she died a glorious death. No one could figure out what she died of, but it was the medicine, undoubtedly. But my uncle was very proud because she got the best scientific treatment, and it only cost $1,200,000. So he was very proud how she died such a glorious death. So people are so fooled, they're thinking that this is progress. But actually, if you say that modern science hasn't done anything at all, then they say, well, they invented so many medicines. People are dying much later. Factually, people have less. For instance, in America, they say that the longevity span, the average is something like 78 years for men and 82 for women. What they don't take into account is their modern abortion rate. Therefore, if you take that into account, then the average lifespan goes down to like maybe 60 years or 50 years, something around India. All factors considering, one cannot really see how the scientists have improved the standard of living. If basic material happiness means eating and sleeping, mating, defending, how have they actually improved anything? The quality of food has gone down. People certainly can't sleep as peacefully as they used to. Their minds are more disturbed by all the noise, by all the anxieties. Now, due to mass communication, it has its advantages to spreading Krishna consciousness. But what has mass communication done to make anyone more peaceful? Nowadays, you can find out how people are suffering all over the world. Previously, they only knew how people were suffering in your own house. How grandmother had arthritis, and dad broke his leg, mother has a stomach ache, and my little baby brother just ate some nails or snails or whatever. So nowadays you can find out how everyone's suffering, how people are being tortured in Angola, in Bosnia, in Cambodia. So now you can go to sleep at night completely in anxiety, thinking about so many different, how everyone's suffering everywhere. So this is advancement. You can find out the latest massacre of it. You know, people are so disturbed that they can't find out who got killed today if they miss the, what is that, NTV or something? News. They become very disturbed because they didn't find out the latest horrors that have gone on. They feel that they're out of touch with things. And as far as mating, yes, people have become more like pigeons than they were before. People want to have sex with anything or anyone or that whatever there is. But this has not actually improved anyone's happiness or in any other way. As far as defense goes, we can rest assured that they've made progress in defense. Previously, people would have to worry about dying from natural causes. But now people don't know, you know, what's the latest weapon that's going to kill them. If the scientists don't kill us through their medicines, they'll certainly kill us by their weapons. So in this way, people work hard. They make money and they pay a good percentage of it to the government, who then distributes the money to make weapons to kill the people who are making the money. And then they say that we're making progress. So Krishna doesn't agree with that. He says, Adanta gobir vishitam tamizram. Anyone who's in the bodily concept of life, working for sense gratification, he's making progress towards Adanta gobir tamizram, towards hell. And his only reward is punak punas charvita charvanana, chewing the chewed. He's thinking he's getting varieties of happiness, but it's the same thing. Just like they used to have this candy, I don't know if they have it anymore, called M&M's. They still have that? Chocolate candy. So on the cover, they'd have sometimes green covering, M&M, and red color. It's the same M&M. The same thing inside, doesn't taste any different. The only thing is, one is colored green, one colored red. And I remember when I was younger, I used to separate the green from the red, eat the red at first, then the green afterwards. But it's all the same thing. So similarly, material enjoyment is the same thing over and over again, but it's a slightly different color. Prabhupada once said that in the material world is factually no past, present, and future. Because in the past, people are eating, they were sleeping, they were having sex, and they were defending themselves. And today, they're doing the same thing. Maybe when they eat, the wrapper is a little bit different. Maybe it was cooked a little bit different, but basically it's the same thing they're eating. The same broccoli, the same potato, the same cauliflower, or whatever else they eat. And as far as sleeping goes, maybe they were sleeping previously on a bed, now they can sleep on a balloon or an air mattress, whatever. but it's the same experience. And sex and defending, it's all the same thing. Whether one is killed by a sword or killed by a hydrogen bomb, it doesn't really make any big difference. It's like sometimes they give a prisoner a choice. Do you want to be hung or electrocuted? Let me think it over. Okay. So similarly, in the future, we can understand, even without studying astrology, that people will basically be eating, sleeping, having sex, and defending themselves. Although we may hope that the future will be brighter and more exciting than it is now, but this is our option. You have column A, there's eating. Column B, there's sleeping. Column C, there's defending. Column D, there's mating. And there's no other. Even if you get a fortune cookie, if you look inside, it has the same menu in it. There's nothing else going on. Therefore, it's punak puna starvita charvanana. It is simply chewing the chewed. Etevidu swartikatim hi vishnum darashaya ye bahir artamanina. They don't know that the factual goal of life is to obtain Krishna. Therefore, they take something else which is insignificant as promising to give them perpetual happiness. So this is called ignorance. Although people, the leaders, they promise that in the future, if you elect me, in the future I'll give you all facilities for happiness. But it is said, Andaya tandir upagiyamanas tepisha tantra uru dami vada. It is the same blind people leading other blind people. In other words, anyone who promises that in this material world I can make you happy, he must be blind. Because he himself is not happy. He himself has to go and die. He has to die. He's suffering in so many different ways. So either he's a liar or a fool promising to make others happy. Such as the modern scientist who simply asks, you give me some billions of dollars and in the future I'll solve all your problems. So Prabhupada used to say this is called a post-dated check. The person, he has nothing in the bank. He's never done anything so far of any value. But he's simply asking that you accept my post-dated check in payment. And you give me everything. So if a person is not very intelligent, he doesn't look at the person's bank account to see what is his assets, what is covering the check. If he doesn't look and see the person's past activities and see whether or not he's produced anything of any merit that could be some value. So if he simply blindly accepts a post-dated check, then surely he'll be cheated. Similarly, the scientists are promising that in the future I'll solve all your problems, that I'll invent a pill, you'll take the pill, you'll live forever. In other words, what they claim the religions have so many blind followers. They're promising so many things about the future, an afterlife where you'll live happily. But the scientists are doing exactly the same thing, trying to gather blind followers. They've been able to do a few things, like build an airplane that can fly in the sky. So for that, they can give credit to them. But at what expense do you have to, so much expense you have to pay for the airplane, just so you can fly in the sky and visit so many other miserable people who are also flying in the sky. They have to drill into the earth to get out the petroleum. They have to refine it, they have to deliver it, transport it. They have to build the airplanes, they have to maintain them, they have to build the airports, they have to do so many different things, train up the pilots, etc., etc. And what is the result? Now you can fly to one hellish place after another. It wasn't enough before to live in one city where people are suffering. Now you can visit so many different cities where people are suffering, working hard so they can get the money so they can fly to one hellish city to the next. So the scientists claim we've done this. We've given you this opportunity. Before, you could only visit one hell in your lifetime. But now you can visit hundreds of hells. You've read in the Srimad Bhagavatam that there are any 28 principal hells below, in between the Garbhagdakta ocean and Patala Loka. But on this earth planet, there are hundreds of hells you can visit. Therefore, a sane person will understand that this is not very much credit. And to surrender one's life to these scientists and to follow them will certainly lead one to the wrong path. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has recommended, Naishamitis-tavadurukramangrim sprishat-inarto pagavo-inartam vishekam niskinchananam nanavrita-yadvat navrinita-yadvat. Prahlad Maharaj has recommended to find out someone who can teach one how to become free from these misconceptions of identifying oneself with the body, can teach one the reality of the spiritual soul, of the supreme spiritual person, and the process by which one can gradually purify oneself to realize one's eternal existence. But those who are not interested in such things, they have no opportunity. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi bhavanam vyavasayina. That those who are interested in sense gratification and material opulence, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. Na samadhi. It says there is no possibility of controlling the mind. Samadho na vidyate. There's no possibility of reaching samadhi. One's mind will simply be agitated. One's body will be degraded. By such running after sense gratification, material opulence. But if one comes to the platform of realizing his spiritual relation with Krishna, acts according to that relationship, then the result is, then he can experience a higher taste and give up this false pursuit of so-called material happiness. And Prabhupada writes at the end here, that what is the result, what is the prize in the crackerjack box? They used to have these crackerjack boxes, I don't know if they have them anymore. So, just like everything else, crackerjacks, everyone knows what crackerjacks is? You know what crackerjacks is? It's this popcorn. They cover it with like kind of molasses. They used to put it into a box. So in order to allure the children to buy it, they put this little plastic prize into the box, to the bottom of the box. So the crackerjacks, you break your teeth on it, just like normal popcorn. It gets in between your teeth, all the different bits of the popcorn, stabs into your gum. Not very pleasant, actually. But because there's a little prize in the Cracker Jack box, therefore they buy it. The prize is, half a penny worth of prize, but it's a prize. It's free with every Cracker Jack box. So what is the ultimate prize in the Cracker Jack box of material existence, at the end of all this scientific advancement, Prabhupada said, they'll invent the ultimate weapon and then they'll use it. They'll think that this weapon is just too good not to try out. And that's it. Just like we have so many stories of Rikasura, he wanted from Lord Shiva the power whose ever head he touched immediately crack into so many pieces. And then he wanted to immediately try it out on Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was not very happy about it. But eventually the demon Vrikasura was tricked so that he touched his own head and killed himself. Similarly, the scientists, they'll eventually think, let us use these weapons, and ultimately they'll destroy each other. Therefore, one should not waste his time in becoming too enthusiastic about so-called material happiness, material advancement, the promises of the scientists, because they themselves are simply heading for the darkest regions of existence, and one who follows him, he's most unfortunate. Instead, one should try to look for the footprints of devotees such as Narada Muni and follow their footprints, because they lead to Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? It's a good idea. It's not so bad if you see like that. It's not that, you know, one day you'll think, oh, this is just too pure for me. I can't take it. Everyone's so too pure. What's the harm? Especially when the devotees are glorifying Krishna. Not that we should be pie in the sky. Oh, here is a devotee. Secretly, he has chicken in his refrigerator. But I know it must be an offered chicken, because he's a pure devotee. No, one should appreciate the devotee, how much he's engaged in devotional service. One should try to see the internal aspect of the devotee's engagement in devotional service, as well as appreciate how he's serving Krishna, and not pay so much attention to his other type of maybe anarthas or faults. Especially if one is not responsible for correcting that person. Now, if one has a responsibility of elevating the person and he can't see the faults, then he won't be able to elevate the person at all. Therefore, Rishabhdev says, Gurur na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, swajano na sasyat. That there are different persons in this world who have responsibility to elevate their dependents. The father, the mother, the guru, the demigods. So they have to see the faults. If they don't see the faults, they can't really elevate anyone. They don't know what to elevate them to. Therefore, the conclusion is, if I don't have a responsibility to elevate the person, if I'm not seen as their authority, then what's the harm in just trying to see the good qualities? What is the value of seeing their bad qualities? But if I am an authority, then I have to be able to see their anarthas so that I can help purify them. Not uselessly see them without any objective, but to help elevate them. Adosha Darshi. Well, there are many devotees like that. Raghunath Bhat Goswami, whenever he'd hear a criticism against a Vaishnav, he'd say that doesn't really matter, because somehow or another they engage in devotional service. Similarly, there was Haridas, the Pujari in the Radha Madan Mohan temple, and he was known as a Dosha Darshi. He didn't see the faults in others. And the example is that the flies, they fly towards the bees, they go towards honey, and the flies, they go towards stool. So we should become like bees rather than flies. But sometimes we may hear an authority criticizing another devotee, so we shouldn't unnecessarily get involved also. Thinking, what is this devotee? Why is he so critical? Because that's another, then we become critical. So in between Vaishnavas, their dealings, generally it's better to stay out of conflicts between Vaishnavas, or else one himself may be. Generally, what happens when two Vaishnavas fight against each other and someone else gets involved, he serves to unite them together against the person who got involved. They generally make up, and then they see as their real enemies. Person who's trying to get them together. Anything else? Yeah. I guess it's according to the translation of the song. There's so many different translations. Guru Dev Kripa Bindu Diya Kore E Dase Trina Peka Atihina. So it says, my dear spiritual master, Guru Dev, give me a drop of your mercy. Kripa Bindu Diya Kora E Dase, make me your servant. Trina Peka Atihina. So that I can become humbler than the blade of grass. What is that? What's the next line? Baladiya koro sakale sahane. In all trials, baladiya koro, give me the strength to pass through all different trials. Nija mani sprihahina. And let my mind be free from all kinds of false prestige. Yeah, so if we, by following the instructions of the spiritual master and by getting his benedictions and mercy, then we can make progress. That the mercy, in other words, if we make ourselves receptive to the mercy that the devotees are distributing, then we get the mercy. And even to become eligible to be receptive, we can also pray for that. Because everything is based on desire. So even if we have a desire to desire in a certain way, Krishna will eventually fulfill that desire and will develop that desire. Yeah. Yes. So we're unfortunate also to that extent. We're not dependent on that society. We're dependent upon Krishna. And Krishna is the one who's keeping that society together. And when Krishna pulls the rug out, then we go with it. So hopefully Krishna will give us the intelligence before he pulls the rug that we'll get out from on top of it. But it's a fact, if the oil stops, say there was no more oil, which is quite a possibility. No more oil, then everyone starves, at least for some time. I hear even in Holland during World War II, when there was no food, they were eating the animals in the zoo. Anything else? We'll stop there. That's where they got those. They used to have those cookies, animal cookies. I think only, do they have that here too? Little cookies in shape of animals. So, if the better to become self-sufficient, that's what Prabhupada wanted. Then if the only way we'll ever eat animals is in the form of little cookies and shit. if you become dependent upon a bad master, then we may wind up in trouble. Being dependent upon modern civilization for our basic necessities is not a very good master to be dependent on. Ultimately, we depend on Krishna. But Krishna's dependency upon Krishna also means to follow the instructions of his. So, if the better to become self-sufficient, that's what Prabhupada wanted. Then, the only way we'll ever eat animals is in the form of little cookies, and if you become dependent upon a bad master, then we may wind up in trouble. Being dependent upon modern civilization for our basic necessities is not a very good master to be dependent on. Ultimately, we depend on Krishna, but Krishna's dependency upon Krishna also means to follow the instructions of his devotees, such as Śrīla Prabhupāda, who wanted us to become self-sufficient for our necessities. So, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.